tonight. I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to start a series of messages working through the book of Joshua. I'm not sure that I'll preach every verse, verse by verse, but we're going to get a good sense of what the book of Joshua is about on Sunday nights during this season. I think it's a timely study. I think there's a lot of applications that we can personally make as we turn the corner on an old year and begin a new year in our lives personally. So turn to the book of Joshua tonight. You know, one of my favorite television shows as a kid, and I know I say that often up here, I watched probably too much TV as a kid, but one of my favorite TV shows as a kid was Star Trek. And when I talk about Star Trek, I'm not talking about Next Generation or Voyager or Deep Space Nine. I'm talking about the original. How many of you like the original Star Trek? Raise your hands, please. I figured this crowd, most of you would like the original Star Trek. Now, I guess I really didn't watch it when it was prime time because that was in the mid-60s, but I watched it in syndication where you could watch it every day after school. And I really just could not wait to watch the adventures of Captain Kirk. There he is in the captain's chair. And there's Bones McCoy beside him there. And there's Mr. Spock on the other side of him. I mean, I had a phaser. Did anybody have a phaser? Maybe some of y'all didn't. I had a phaser, and I think they were pajamas, but I had one of the uniforms like they had. My brother and I had them. And I mean, we had it. We had a model of the USS Enterprise. And so y'all remember the show. It was action-packed, and you probably remember the iconic beginning of the show, how it would show the space scene. And the ship would come by. And I believe William Shatner was the one who would narrate this. I think it was his voice. That was back when William Shatner was cool. But I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, this is what he would say. Y'all remember this. This was really the start of the show every week. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyagers of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations. And then there was that last line. And the last line is really what I'm taking my sermon title from tonight. Shatner would say, to boldly go where no man has gone before. And I'm not gonna hum the chorus to that tonight. I don't think you want to hear me up here trying to do that. But that's what drew so many men and young men to the show. I was thinking about this, and it was this sense of boldly going where no one has ever gone before. By the way, I think that's why those Westerns were popular, like our brother Elliot was talking about today as well, from that era, or maybe just a little bit before. But here it was in the 60s. There was the race to the moon between us and the Russians. And then later on, there was the space shuttle and all of this, this final frontier. And so it really resonated with a lot of people and a lot of men. And we were captivated by this show, Star Trek. And by the way, it was a crazy show, wasn't it? I mean, not only was it crazy because they had Klingons, but think about all these devices they had. I mean, can you imagine? They had these little communicators in their hands, these little computers, and they talked to each other with them. Can you believe it? Isn't that amazing that they had something like that? Now, let's switch from sci-fi to real life, okay? And let's think about this theme that they would say every week, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Now I want you to think about your life in 2018. There's a couple ways to look at this phrase. First of all, you can look at it this way. I hope that every one of you are wanting to grow spiritually this year. I sure want to. I really want to become a more courageous Christian. I want to put aside some of the fears and hindrances and things that hold me back from being all that I can be for Christ. And so there's a sense that I'd like to boldly go where I've never gone before personally. And so I want to strive to that end right now with the start of a new year. But not only that, even if I really don't want to do that, even if I'm complacent and I'm happy right where I am, like it or not, I'm boldly going to a place where I've never gone before. You understand that, don't you? A place where you've never been before can sometimes be just a phone call away. A phone call tomorrow morning could change your life. Or a doctor's visit. or any number of things, because this world in which we live is uncertain. It's the great unknown, and we never know for sure what to expect from one day to the next, much less one year to the next. And so here we are in 2018, and there really is a sense that we are going where we've never been before. How do you prepare for that? How do you handle that? How do you get ready for that? Well, I think that we listen to God's word and we apply it to our lives. And that's where the book of Joshua comes in. Y'all remember the story of Joshua. Joshua had been appointed as the leader of the Israelites after they had wandered for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Most of it by their own dereliction of duty. But nevertheless, here they are. When we come to chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, they are on the east side of the Jordan River, and they're ready to cross over the Jordan and enter into a place where they've never been before. And so what we see is that Joshua is a book that's all about spiritual warfare. It's about boldly going where we've never been before. And that was true historically for the Israelites, but it's also true for the children of God today. So I want you to look at the first 9 verses. That's how I'm going to start our series of messages this Sunday night. And we're coming again to the time where God is encouraging Joshua to boldly enter into this great unknown in his life and in the life of his country. It says in verse 1, after the death of Moses, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, that was huge, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Really, he had been mentored by Moses. Verse 2, Moses, this is God speaking, the Lord speaking, my servant is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. Notice verse 3, the language there. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory, verse 4, will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. Look at verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. That sounds good right now, doesn't it? And then you get to verse 6. And it's a reminder that there will be challenges in this new year or this new place that you're traveling to. Because 3 different times he uses this phrase, starting in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. That's why we got the title for this, Courageous Christianity. For you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous, to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. I love verse 8. I'm going to talk about that. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you will succeed. So that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, and here it is the third time, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word that we have tonight before us. We're thankful for the story of Joshua and his leadership with the children of Israel as they went into the new land, the land you had promised to them, and they conquered that land. And then, Lord, they divided it up just as you had said. You were faithful. But, Lord, it was challenging for them. It was uncertain. It was unknown and uncharted. And, Lord, a lot of our lives are like that tonight. All of our lives are like that tonight. We are all entering into new territory. Some of us this year, we recognize going into this new year, things are going to be different. We know that because of how the old year ended. Others, we may not realize or recognize it yet. We may be blissfully unaware of what is in store for us in 2018. But Lord, every one of us in this room, hearing this message, my prayer is that we would boldly enter into this new year because we know that you're with us. And we know that you want us to conquer things in our lives and to walk boldly for you and be courageous Christians. So help us, Lord, to apply this lesson from your word tonight in our personal lives and in the life of our church. And help me, as your servant, to speak on your behalf tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me. And I thank you again for your word that guides us and guards us and helps us to understand our times and our lives. And I thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who is in your word from Genesis to Revelation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, God is preparing Joshua and the people to enter the land. Really, that's what chapters 1 through 5 is all about. When you get to chapter 6, they indeed do invade the land. And we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at that battle of Jericho. And then after chapter 6, you have a series of battles. I don't know if this is all-encompassing, but I counted 31 different battles as I was working through this book. But you have a host or a series of battles that are fought after entering the promised land. Now stop with me for a minute. You don't have to answer this, but if you're like me, I can remember when, especially as a kid, I used to think of the promised land as heaven. That was the land of milk and honey. That was our final destination. But really, when you look at the story, it's not. It's the life that we have after receiving Jesus. It's not heaven. There are battles still to be fought and victories to be won, even after entering into the promised land. So, basically, they're getting ready to enter the promised land. But listen, this is not a story about Joshua. It's not about Joshua's leadership, even though we're going to learn some lessons. It's not about the children of Israel, even though we can apply some things from their experience. Guess what this book is about? It's about God. Just like every book of the Bible is about God. It's about His power, His presence, His faithfulness, and His glory. But it's also a book that teaches us that you can follow the right leader. You can go into uncharted territory. You can go into the great unknown. You can go places where you've never been with the right leader. And guess who that right leader is? No, it's not your pastor. I hope I'm a good leader, but I'm not the leader I'm talking about. It's Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate leader. But by the way, Joshua is simply the Hebrew language word for Jesus. Actually, the word Jesus means Joshua saves or Yahweh saves. And so there's a sense that Joshua prefigures Jesus. He's our ultimate leader. And so we read tonight about this journey in Joshua chapter 1. God comes to Joshua and he says, basically in essence, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, Joshua, I've got a mission for you. I want you to lead my people, and these are your marching orders. You're going to take them across the river and into the promised land. And Joshua is kind of like us. He's wondering about the great unknown. He knows that God is leading him. He knows that he's on a mission. And he knows he has his marching orders, just like we do as a church and as individuals. But he's wondering how he's going to pull it off. He's wondering if he's really up to the task. He's wondering if he can fill some pretty big shoes, the shoes of Moses. Can you imagine what that was like? Moses was a legendary figure for those people, the children of Israel. And again, he had learned much and he loved Moses. And I guarantee you that he was feeling a little bit insecure at this time. And so what God is really doing is he's encouraging him. He's helping him to know that you can do it. Be bold, be courageous, take that step of faith. And you know what? God may be saying that to you tonight as well and to me. To be bold in this area in my life. If I've never done this before, but I know it's what God wants me to do, I can take those steps. I can cross the river. But there are some specific things that I want you to see from this tonight. Because really, you still probably are wondering, how do I do that? How do I take those bold steps into this new time in my life where I've never been before? Well, let me give you four applications tonight, very, very quickly here. Four applications from this passage of how we can live our lives when there's some uncertainty or when there's some new beginnings or new areas we need to take in our lives. Number one, to boldly go where you've never gone before, first thing you've got to do is you've got to let go of the past. You need to let go of the past. Now, hear me when I say that. I'm not saying that the past is not good. And I'm not saying that you can't appreciate the past, that you can't learn from the past, that you can't even enjoy the past or benefit from it. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is you shouldn't live in the past. Too many times we are, when things are uncertain, and when we're threatened by something or we're insecure about something, we tend to live in the past. We tend to long for the good old days. All of us do that. You know, I have a 21-year-old son. He has now been around long enough that he talks about the good old days. I saw him tweet it the other day. I'm like, what? What's up with this? The good old days. You're 21 years old. But listen, sometimes we need to let go of the past. You say, well, when? When, Pastor, do we need to let go of the past? Well, let me give you three reasons or three times when we need to let go of the past. First of all, let go of the past when you struggle with inadequacy. Let go of the past when you struggle with this sense of being inadequate or feeling like you're not up to the task right now. And maybe the reason you feel that way is because you've had past failures. You've had things happen in your past and you think, well, here we go again. And you've got this thief named Satan, the devil, who gets in your ear and lies to you and tells you it's going to be the same story again. You're the same person. You can never do this. And so when you feel inadequate, that's when you need to let go of the past. Again, Joshua, Moses meant so much to him personally. Moses was such a good leader and such a good mentor, and he meant so much to Israel corporately that Joshua was very much afraid. He very much felt inadequate. You know, sometimes a pastor will come in and he'll follow a well-known or well-loved pastor and he'll feel inadequate. Sometimes a life group leader will take over. Sometimes somebody will be in another position and they didn't do it like the guy who came before them. And they can feel this sense of inadequacy. Listen, I know there were giants in that new land, in the promised land. But Joshua's fears may not have been so much about the giants that stood in front of him than the giant that stood behind him, the giant of Moses. And so he needed to let go of the past. God is saying, listen, in these first few verses, God is saying Moses is dead. Not to be disrespectful, he's saying, Moses, my servant, is no longer here, but my work is still going to get done. And it's going to get done through you. You know, the truth of the matter is all of us are inadequate. I don't care how good of a leader you are, how charismatic you are as a speaker and a leader, how sold out you are to the Lord, we're all inadequate. It's Jesus who is adequate. He's more than enough, and it's only as we walk in His power that we're able to accomplish what He would have us to do. So let go of the past when you struggle with inadequacy. But second, let go of the past when you struggle with uncertainty. When you struggle with this sense of uncertainty, you know, someone has said, a known past is often more appealing than an unknown future. Some people just want to stay where they are because they don't know what's going to happen in the future. And they know what happened in the past, and so they celebrate victories from the past. Sometimes churches are bad about that. Churches get stuck in a certain era. It was a golden era for that church. And churches want to rest on their laurels. And I'll tell you what, that's a great way to die. That's a great way to lose your influence on people. Because we've always got to be striving. We've always got to be going. We've always got to be on mission for God. Don't let your known past cripple your unknown future. That's what I'm trying to say here. And that brings me to the third point I want to say about this letting go of the past. When do we let go of the past? We let go of the past when you struggle with complacency. When you struggle with complacency. Complacency is something that sometimes we all struggle with from time to time. I'll be honest, I get complacent. Whenever I get complacent, I just need to put my mind on the future. I need to focus on what's out there to still be conquered or still be done. Because listen, I'm learning, and you all know it, maybe some of you even better than I do, but all we have is this life. We have this brief life to do whatever we can and win whatever victories we can for the Lord. And listen, we don't get a do-over. And this life goes by so quickly. And so we can't be complacent. We can't rest on our laurels. This is the day for us to conquer new ground and to boldly go where we've never been before. You're not going to get a do-over. Those great victories that you've experienced in your life, guess what? They're in the past. Those failures that you've had in your life, guess what? They're in the past. All we have is right now and the future. And so sometimes we just need to let go of the past. But that's not the only thing I see in this passage. Not only is he talking about Moses being gone, but I want you to notice verse 2. And verse 2, I love this verse, and this is really where I got the idea for my second point. But it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, meaning Joshua, and all the people, prepare to cross over the Jordan. I love how it says, you and all the people. Second point I want to make tonight, to boldly go where you've never gone before in your life spiritually and personally, you must take others with you. Spiritually, you've got to take others with you. God makes it clear that Joshua is to cross the river, but guess what? He's not to cross it by himself. It's to be done together. It's something that you're going to do corporately. It's not a solo endeavor. And that's true for every one of us. Nobody needs to be a Lone Ranger Christian out there on your own. Listen, don't try to cross the river on your own. Don't think of going into new territory on your own this year. If you're resolving in your heart to change a habit or to let go of a hurt or to get rid of a hang-up, don't do it alone. If you're striving to be a better witness this year, to do some things that you've never tried before and be courageous in your Christian walk, don't do it alone. Whatever it is that you're resolving or needing to do in your life, or whatever you're facing in your life, maybe you've had that phone call already and you don't know what to expect in your health or in your relationships or in your home and your family. If that's the case, don't do it alone. Notice he says again, now you and all the people cross over the land, into the new land. It's not going to work to try it by yourself. It's not going to work without other believers in your life. We must go where we've never been together. Together. I love how there's a sense of togetherness in the Word of God. There's a sense that we are to be a part of a body. And I know you all get this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But man, do what you can to make our life groups be all they can be. To make our time together special. Man, do what you can to enhance the fellowship in this church and strengthen some other brother or sister. If you don't accomplish anything else this year, if you can be an accountability partner for someone, what a great thing that is. If you can be an encourager, if you can have the gift of mercy and just help somebody, lift them up. I preached a funeral for a guy yesterday in Richland, and that was one of the main themes out of that funeral. Not just what I said, but as I heard others testify about him, is how he took care of other people. He really lifted others and made others around him better in his workplace and in his personal life and in his family life. And that's what I challenge you to do. See, that's what this is all about. We need to encourage others to cross the river and not give up. You need to be encouraging other people to cross this river. You see, transformation takes place, according to the Word of God, in community, when we are together, serving together and worshiping together and loving one another together and loving the Lord Jesus together. And that happens in the church. It happens in a small group. And, you know, when I think about that, I think about our culture today. There's some things about our culture that really concern me and dishearten me. And I don't know what the answer is right now. I especially think about younger people that are coming behind us in our culture today. I don't think there's ever been a time in our culture, in our history, where we've been better connected electronically. Most of us in this room, we're on social media. We are connected. We've got friends. I mean, we can put a post out and immediately we've got 30, 40 people liking it, or we've got all kinds of people responding. We have never been, listen to me, never been better connected electronically, but I don't think we've ever been more disconnected relationally. Isn't that weird? But that's where we are in America today. You know, there's young people, even in our church, that really don't even know how to converse with someone other than with a phone. And that's sad. And so we've got to try to do better. We've got to encourage others. Just a strange day. And so I guess what I'd say to you, in light of this point, before I move on to the next one, is be both an example and a learner. Be both an example and a learner. You see, when we're saved, we're called into a community of believers. You're to be a belonger, a believer, and then a belonger. You've heard me say that before. But listen, your faith and your walk is more than just what you do for an hour on Sunday. It's every day of your life, and you need to find someone and several people who you can do life together with. Because we're better together. Like it or not, you need me, and I need you, and we all need one another. Because that's how God designed it, and that's how it works best. And so, three times, God says, be strong and courageous, but He says it in the context of being together. And I love the fellowship. I love the spirit at Hillcrest right now. But I can't tell you, I can't emphasize it enough. That can change quickly. The devil loves to disrupt fellowship in a church. And we've got to stay together. We've got to stick together, be together, and work together, and stay together. That's what God, the advice God gave to Joshua in these first nine verses, to boldly go where he'd never gone before. But then there's a third thing I see in this passage tonight. To boldly go where you've never gone before, you need to have tenacity. You need to have tenacity. What I mean by that is, you know, a lot of people think the Christian life is just a cakewalk. And it's even preached. It saddens me when I hear this, you know, bad theology. But I hear preachers say this about how you get saved and everything just falls into place and your life is all roses. And y'all know the truth. Y'all know that's hogwash. The truth of the matter is it's probably getting harder for you. Life is going to be filled with battles. And the place where God was calling Joshua to was not an easy place. Yes, it was the promised land. It was the land He'd set aside for Joshua and for the children of Israel. But guess what? There was a very real enemy and a very real battle. That's your first sub-point, by the way, under point number three. There is a very real enemy in this place. I want you to go back in the text again and look in verse 4 where God begins to describe the territory that they're going to take over. And then He says, He inserts this little phrase about the middle of verse 4, and He says, all the land of the Hittites. Those Hittites were giants. That was the enemy. And that wasn't the only enemy. There were a bunch of other ites in there, but that's one formidable foe. And by the way, it wasn't an enemy that was going to just go away. They weren't just going to walk away or fade away. And they were an intimidating enemy. And they were going to be a formidable foe, and they weren't going to be passive. They were going to fight them. And so you need to understand there's a very real enemy in your life today. And there's a very real battle to be fought. Now again, I love this, and I've said this before. Thank God, because of Jesus, we fight from victory and not for victory. Jesus has given us the victory, amen? But we do fight battles in the name of the Lord. And the battles are not against flesh and blood, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavens or high places. And so, basically, this was an enemy that they were going to have to fight again and again and again. As I said earlier, I counted, I may be wrong on this, 31 different battles in the book of Joshua. And again, you may have some battles to fight this year. In fact, it's not you may. You will have some battles to fight this year. You just need to prepare yourself right now. Will you be tenacious? Or will you just give up and let the enemy win? Will you let the devil have territory? You know, there's areas of your life you've given over to him so long that it's almost like a stronghold now. Maybe this is a year you decide to stand up and fight. And if you do decide to stand up and fight, I need you to remember something. You need to remember the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. A lot of us, we're defeated from the word go because we try to fight in our own strength. And that's foolish to try to do because the enemy is more powerful than we are. But thank God we have an ally who is stronger than him. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And so, even though the moment you said yes to Jesus, Satan declared war on you, you can have victory over your enemy because the battle is the Lord's. That's basically what God is saying here. Look with me back in verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. And why is that? Because I'm so great and I'm so strong? No, look at it. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. I love that because that language reminds me that the battles that I face spiritually, the battles where I go to places where I've never been before in my life, are the Lord's battles. And I don't have to wonder if I'm going to win the war. Jesus has already won the ultimate victory. But I want you to remember one other thing before I move on to the last point. Remember that we win the battle by exercising our faith. The way we win the battle, even though the battle is the Lord's, the Lord gives us free will. And the way that I win the battle is by walking by faith. By the way, that's how I please God too, is by faith. It was faith, Abraham's faith, that God credited as righteousness. Now that doesn't mean I have perfect faith. In fact, sometimes my faith is all over the map. But it's my faith, it's by faith that I win the victory. Faith is the victory. We break the grip of fear by faith. We're talking about fear on Sunday mornings. God's power falls on those who walk by faith. And again, we march into an unknown future by faith. And that's what Satan wants us to do, is to be fearful. And he wants to throw all these things up in our face. And he attacks us with temptation and anxiety and fear. But God wants us to walk by faith. That's what we talked about today in Psalm 23. God's saying to Joshua right here, just trust me. Have faith. Follow me. I'll be with you. And he's saying the same thing to us tonight. God gives us many promises that we can claim. And he wants us to walk by faith. But there's a fourth and final point I want to make tonight as we choose to boldly go where we've never gone before. To do that, you need to remain obedient. Not only must you remain tenacious, but you need to remain obedient. I want you to look just for a minute at verse 8. Let's take a quick look here back in the text at verse 8. It says, this book of instruction, which is what I'm preaching from right now, the Word of God, must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. In fact, back in verse 7, the last sentence there before you go to verse 8, it even says, do not turn from it to the right or the left, all those things that Moses commanded you, so that you will have success wherever you go. I don't know about you, but I want this to be a successful year for me personally. And one of the ways it'll be successful for me is when I do it God's way. And I follow God's plan for my life. And one of the best ways for me to follow God's plan for my life is to get into His Word and to stay in His Word and to immerse myself in His Word to where His Word just comes out of me. When I'm in a situation where I'm squeezed or I'm under pressure or I'm in a bad situation, His Word just comes out of me. It's innate. Without even thinking, I act upon His Word. That means you've got to memorize it. That means you've got to embed it in your life. You've got to live it out. And that's what he's asking us to do. Listen, nothing calms the heart like the Word of God. Nothing strengthens the soul like the Word of God. My challenge to you, man, read the Bible this year. Read the Bible through this year. Get into a study plan. Get into it and meditate on it. Don't just read it in your quiet time in the first thing in the morning and forget about it. Meditate on the Word of God. We got some folks in our church, I love this, they've started putting their quiet time, what they're getting their quiet time, and the scripture, putting it out on Facebook. And I love reading that because it tells me I've got people in this church that are getting immersed in the Word of God. And when they go through some tough, challenging times, they are depending on the Word of God. Because listen, if that's where you put your focus, if that's really where you, tie down your life, there's two things that I promise you will happen. When you are obedient to the Word of God, two things are going to happen. First of all, obedience to the Father's Word brings strength in the world. It brings strength in the world. When the Bible guides your life, you're going to be strong even when you're in difficult situations. You know, I found that too often we live by emotion. I'm even guilty of that. Sometimes I let my emotions govern my life. I hear people say this all the time. They'll say, well, I just didn't feel like doing that right now. Or if I feel like doing it, I'll be there. You know, that's just crazy thinking. If I only did what I felt like doing, I wouldn't do half the things I'm supposed to do. And I'd be doing a bunch of things I didn't need to do. I don't know who said this, but I like it a lot. I'm going to give this to you tonight. It's not in your outline or anything, but I heard a pastor say, and I'm going to quote it if I can get it without messing it up. It's a lot easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. I don't know who said that, but I love that. Listen to that. And I'm going to say that again. I can't believe I quoted that. But it is a lot easier to feel your way into an act your way into a feeling than to feel your way into an action. Man, isn't that good? That's what we need to do. We just need to recognize God's Word is right, and even if we don't feel like it, we need to do it. Act on what God is telling you to do. Because often we're just the opposite. We think, man, if I just felt better about it, I'd be okay. We're a society that lives by our emotions. And that's not what God's Word says. We need to be obedient to the Word of God. And finally, my last point tonight, obedience to the Father's plan brings success in the work. It brings success in the work. That's what he's saying here. When you don't turn to the right or to the left, and you meditate on my word, look at what he says here. And carefully observe everything written in it. I'm still in verse 8, towards the end of it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. I saw that word prosper, and I thought back to my Star Trek illustration. You remember Mr. Spock, don't you? Leonard Nimoy. That was his famous saying, wasn't it? How many of you can do the Vulcan salute? I had to practice to get back to doing this again. But he always would say, when he would greet someone, the Vulcan greeting, live long and prosper. And you know what? I looked up this word prosper. I wanted to do a little word search on it. And I have a feeling that Trekkies, as well as a lot of Americans today, really don't have a good understanding of what this word prosper is all about. Don't read your American mindset into the word prosper when you see that word here. It doesn't necessarily mean to make wealthy or rich or to do all the things we think about when we hear that word. Listen to what this word really means in the Hebrew. It means to fall on something in a mighty way. It was actually used in the Old Testament to describe how the Holy Spirit will fall on a man. To go over something or through something. So God really isn't talking about health and wealth, or the easy life, or material wealth, never getting sick. He's talking about spiritual prosperity. If you want to be spiritually strong as you go to lands and places where you've never been before, he's saying, if you'll do this, whatever spiritual mountain is in front of you, you can go through it. I'll take you over it. You can fall on it mightily. You can boldly go where you've never gone before. He's talking about having wisdom and discernment, and spiritual power, whatever situation you find yourself in. You can go over it and through it, and then you'll have success. One final thing I want to say tonight, and then I'm finished. When I say that, on that Star Trek opening, boldly going where no one has gone before, do you know there's only one person who really did that? Who boldly went where no man has ever gone before. You know who that is? It's not Mr. Spock. It's not James T. Kirk. It's Jesus. Only Jesus went boldly where no man had ever been before. In fact, He went to the cross to die for our sins. He did something that no one could do for themselves. He took our sins upon Himself boldly, presenting Himself as the Lamb of God. And 3 days later, He did something no man had ever done. He arose from the grave victoriously to save us. And by the way, someday, maybe even tomorrow, maybe even tonight, Jesus is going to come again. And He's going to take us where we could never go on our own. He's going to take us to heaven. When we know Him as Savior, He gives our life meaning and purpose. And through a relationship with Jesus, we can boldly go where we've never been before. But it really begins by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus and walking with Him, abiding in Him. He needs to be our Savior and Lord. I put my trust in Him. That's how I boldly go where I've never been before.